John chapter 10 tonight. John chapter 10. If you turn your Bibles. Tonight you find our text in verses 27 through 30. I can remember back when I was sitting where you're sitting, and I'd hear the text was only four verses, and I thought, oh, this is going to be short. And then I thought, how does he do that, and why are we still here? Good grief. But I understand now as I'm on this side. John 10, 27 through 30. The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice, this is Jesus, and I know them, and they follow me. Hear, know, and follow. Verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's pause for a moment. Our Father, we come tonight standing on the sure word of God, knowing that you're ever faithful. You always keep your word. You've never told a lie. And we can trust everything that you say. There is nothing or no one who is more powerful than you are. You are God and God alone. It is my prayer tonight that as we look at these four simple verses, that we would understand the strength of our salvation, the strength of your love, the purpose of your forgiveness, and how tonight, Lord, when we leave this room, we can all say, God has been good to me. He has saved my soul for all eternity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Our independence from a life of sin, now these are important. Now a lot of this is Oswald Chambers, so he afflicts me, so I want to share that with you. Our independence from a life of sin depends upon the work of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, he has separated us from our sin at salvation. We've been studying this in Romans 6 on Sunday morning. Now we're in 7. Now we're going to be in chapter 8 on this Sunday morning. But from time to time, we must revisit the doctrine of sin for a number of reasons. First, to keep us humble and grateful. And secondly, to remind us of the impossibility of our flesh to ever be independent of sin outside of and without the knowledge and power of God's word being active in our daily walk. In other words, what keeps us safe from going back to that old sin nature of surrendering our members again to that sin nature, what keeps us from that is obedience to God's word. Doing what God has asked us to do. Fleeing things, walking in the narrow, all of these things, guarding our hearts, casting all our care, there's hundreds of them, but all of those things have, and that's our protection, is God's word. You go to Ephesians 6, we have the shield of faith, we have the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, we have our loins girt about with the truth, and we've got all of this, and our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, but the sword that God gives us, that is our only offensive weapon. Everything else is for defense. So understand this, that it is understanding the knowledge and the power of God's word in your life and how powerful and how strong it is. And we're going to see that tonight because in verses 27 through 30, Jesus is going to give us an incredible example. And it's personal because it has to deal with our salvation. Now listen carefully. There is a difference between sin and sins. Sin is that old nature. That's your disposition. You were born with that. Sins are the fruit of the sin nature. Now listen. Our sin nature, that disposition, is never spoken of as being forgiven in the Bible. Now don't panic. Stay with me. A disposition can only be changed by an act of divine mercy and grace. Sins are acts for which I am responsible. Sin is something that I am born with and I cannot touch it. Only God touches sin, the sin nature, in redemption. Think about it. You cannot save yourself. You cannot get your sin nature changed. You cannot do that on your own. It's an act of grace. It takes the divine movement of Almighty God in your life to change that disposition, to change that sin nature that you have. So how do I know I have a sin nature? Because you're a sinner. And we commit sins. But it goes back to the root. Now listen carefully. The Bible says that sin's nature entered into the world by one man. Sin's nature. But sin is not an act on my part. This sin, which is a disposition, I am no way responsible for having this disposition of sin. I was born with it. David said that in Psalm 51. But listen, but I am responsible for not allowing God to deliver me from this disposition of sin once I see what Jesus Christ came to do on my behalf. That's why the Bible says that every man will stand with not a word out of his mouth, Romans 3:19, when we stand before Almighty God, lost people will stand there. They cannot say a word. They can have no complaint. They cannot say, you're unfair, God. You cheated me. They can't say a word before Almighty God. Because that's why Christ came. It's not to pay for my sins. Yes, understand that at the cross and in God's wrath. But what I needed was a sin nature. My sin nature needed to be changed. I cannot do that. It took a divine act of God to give me that new nature. We say it this way. I have been baptized. I have been adopted into the family of God. And now I have God's nature within me. Now, I don't want to confuse you on this. You say, sins. There is a difference. Sin is that sin nature that I have. I was born with it. I'm not responsible for it. I was born that way. But I am responsible if I do not respond to God's amazing grace in Christ Jesus, because that's how God, listen, dramatically and divinely changes that sin nature. He gives me a new nature in Christ Jesus. Now, when you think about all of that, and you think about redemption, you think about God's plan of salvation before the foundation of the world was ever put together, that's Ephesians 1:4, you start putting all of this together, we stand back and we have to be in awe, first of all, of God's amazing plan that he's given us. Secondly, the simplicity of which he approached us with it. Secondly, the cost that was paid so that I could be redeemed, so that my sin debt could be satisfied, and that I could receive a new nature, and that God has put, not only have I been adopted into the family of God, but he has given me a new nature, and he has put his spirit in me so that I can respond to his voice. I can obey his word. I now have strength to do all that he asked me to do. And when we sit back and we think about all that God has done for us, there's only one thing we can do is say, glory to God. He saved me. He has changed me. You say, well, David, wherein is the battle? And we're going to talk about this. Go to Romans 8 just for a moment, then I'm going to come back to our text. But in Romans chapter 8, and I just want to give you kind of a heads up what we're going to do Sunday morning. Romans chapter 8, look in verse 1. This is a key verse, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 4 on Sunday morning. But verse 1 is, there is now therefore, you have to stop. What's the therefore? Well, you have to go back and see what he's getting ready to say. And it's everything that's come before. In chapter 6 and chapter 7, he's talked about the law of sin. He's talked about the law of God. The law of sin is our sin nature, the law of God. He talked about what we surrender ourselves to. But how that Christ came and he has, listen, we died with him. You remember in chapter 7 he talked about if a woman is married to a man and the man dies, the woman is no longer lawfully married to that man. Now she can go out and remarry. Well, we died with Jesus. Jesus died to pay our sin debt. I am no longer married to my sin nature because I have died. I paid my debt. The wages of sin is death, and all of this is in Christ. So what happens is this. Now I can remarry because I'm no longer married to sin. So now I marry who? The groom, the Lord Jesus Christ. So now I'm married to him. He is my protector. He's the head of my household. He's everything that I'll ever need. He has put his spirit in me. He has given me life. He's given me all of these things. Therefore, chapter 8, verse 1 of Romans, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. I have been set free. I've been purchased. I have been bought off the slave block of sin. He's given me a new nature. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Therefore, old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Now, how did all that happen? That's what God Almighty is doing in your life and in my life. Go back to John 10. Watch this in verse 27. Jesus comes, and he is going to make an incredible statement. He says, "My sheep hear my voice." Unbelievers will not hear his voice when he speaks to them. You remember back when we talked about in the beginning of chapter 10? Go back with me. Look with me in verse 5. "And a stranger will they not follow," talking about his sheep, "but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the stranger." He says, my sheep hear my voice, and they do what? They follow me. Now, unbelievers are going to follow. They're not going to follow God. Why? Because they can't hear his voice. Romans 2 talks about the natural man, and 1 Corinthians talks about the natural man, that he is dead as far as spiritual things are concerned. Now go back to John 10, look in verse 27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them." Because we are his sheep, and because we hear his voice, we follow him. And the thing is this. This is what you got to understand. The Word of God is so powerful. And understand, when I say the Word of God, we could go to John 1:1, where Jesus said, "I am the Word." And you know that. He is actually the Word of God. And so when he says, "My sheep hear my voice," and he says, and not only that, he says, "but they belong to me and they follow me." That is the natural progression of someone that God has adopted into his family, and now they are a believer in Christ or follower of Christ. Again, verse 27, "We hear his voice, he knows us, and we follow him." You say, "Well, David, I don't know." Listen, folks, when you got saved, let me ask you some basic questions. Was there something that changed in your life? Was there all of a sudden you have different desires? All of a sudden now you have, as one old man used to tell me, an older man, you have a different want tour. Now there's things I just want to do. Before, I didn't want to go. "Well, I want to go to church for, man. All the guy does is get up there and scream, holler, yell, and spit on the flowers. I mean, I don't want to be around all that. But now I want to go. I want to hear what he has to say, because I need what he's saying. I need to hear that. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I didn't know anything about Christ. I didn't know anything, and I was hungry. I wanted to know what he had to teach me. You say, "But he's just another man." I know that. But God has called him, so there's something special about him, and so God's going to give him what I need. So I'm going to trust this preacher with God. That's how it works. So when you think about what Jesus has done, he says, "My sheep hear my voice." What, as I hear him, what is he doing? He's delivering me from things. He's delivering me from the penalty of sin. Listen, the judgment against man will stand between him and the Lord Jesus Christ. The judgment that I so justly deserved, Jesus stood. He stood right in front of it. He took the judgment that I deserved. Sin tells me I'm okay and that I do not need any help from anyone. The old sinful nature will convince me that I am just fine. But now listen, deliverance from the penalty of sin takes the burden of guilt from me. I know I'm forgiven because now I don't have this guilt hanging over my head that I used to have. I like what Hebrews 9:14 says. Let me read it to you. Hebrews 9:14, great verse of scripture. It says this. It says, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Purge my conscience from dead works. Things that I was trying to do. Those things in my life that I'd done that were just horrific. He's purged my conscience. I no longer have this guilty thing hanging over my head. Now watch this. I do feel guilty until I've confessed and repented. But in salvation, he takes away that guilt. That's part of being delivered from the penalty of sin. The sheep of Jesus have ears to hear. They hear my voice. It's evidence of a new nature. Jesus says, "I know them." That's fellowship. They follow me. That's obedience. So in one simple verse, you have evidence of a new nature. We hear his voice. He knows us. That's fellowship. And they follow me. That's obedience. But now I want to show you something. Look back in 27. "My sheep, they hear my voice," and watch this, "and I know them." You see how personal that is? I know them. He knows me. He knows you. He knows us. He knows us. Something happened about 2 weeks ago. I was in a meeting. I was up in Richmond, and I was doing some stuff, and I went up to a guy, and if I said his name, you'd know him, but that's not important. And so, you know, I'm just part of the flock. And this guy is one of the leaders in the IMB. So after it was over with, the meeting was over with, I'd gone and I'd eaten lunch and I'd come back and you have to do everything 2 hours before everything else. So I had to come back and check out of my room, and I had to get on the bus and go to the airport, and I was coming home. And so I was walking by the main auditorium, and this guy, and I hadn't spoken to him in a long time, just to say hello. He was standing in there, so I went in there, and he was talking to somebody else, so I waited a few minutes, and I walked up to him, and I stuck my hand out, and I said, of course, you know, everybody wears their name tags, and so I said, Dave, he says, yeah, David, I know you. I said, you know me. He says, yeah, you're from Florida. You're from St. Augustine. I thought, there's 80-something trustees, and I thought, this guy must have some kind of memory. You know, how do they do that? And I said, well, I just wanted, you know, just let you know I'm praying for you and I want to encourage you. He says, I know that. And he says, and I appreciate what you wrote me. Last year, I wrote him a little thing. And he said, I put it in my journal. He said, and I remember what you said. And I appreciate that, man. That was a word of encouragement to me. And I'm standing there. You know, and you feel like you're 6 years old. Duh. You know, I'm going to say something stupid. I got to get out of here. But I'm thinking to myself, okay, there's 80 guys in there, 80 men and women, and he knows me and he knows about me, but I'm thinking about, but I have a God who knows everything about me. Watch this. And he loves me. He knows everything about me. He knows when I'm stupid. He knows when I'm really stupid. And he knows when I'm really stupid to do. But and the fact that not only does he love me, he cherishes me. Why? Because he wants to have fellowship with me. And out of that amazing thing, the fact that I hear his voice, you know, and I acknowledge that, and I struggle, I'm trying to keep up, that I'm doing everything I can, and he knows me, and I want to follow him out of that whole picture. And he knows me. You know, okay, so this guy knows me. He knows my name, he knows, you know, but God knows me, and the Lord Jesus knows me. He knows the things I struggle with. He knows the things that I can somewhat handle, but he knows everything there is about me. He knows my weaknesses. He knows my strength. He knows my idiosyncrasies. He knows the things that cause me. He knows my ego. He knows my pride. He knows my sin. He knows everything about me. He knows the time that I did something to my little brother, and I told my mom I didn't mean to do it, and I did, and all this stuff. Oh, don't sit out there and look self-righteous. You're not getting away with anything. He knows you too. But put all that aside. His love for us looks past our sinfulness, past our laziness, past our doldrums, past our pity party. He looks beside all of that, and he knows me. And you know what that means? I'm valuable to him. I'm valuable. I may not think that I'm worth anything. I may not think, but I'm valuable to him. Why? Because look what he did on my behalf and your behalf so that I could hear his voice and so that I could follow him so that he could know me. So he delivered me from the penalty. How about the power of sin? Sin has a pull on us because of our fallen nature. But God adopts us and gives us his spirit to enable us to defeat sin's temptation. God's power is greater than anything the world has. That's why with the Holy Spirit in us, I can say no to any sin, any temptation, anything, anything. You say, well, you sound like it's so easy. Anything. Why? Because his power is stronger, his word is stronger than anything that the world comes toward me. You ready for this? When Jesus ascended from the Mount of Olives, what did he defy as he went up into the clouds? Gravity. He's Lord of gravity. That's nothing for him to ascend. And he's coming back. And then in the rapture, all of us are going to defy gravity. Why? Because he's Lord of all. Folks, this stuff is simple. And sometimes we need to go, yeah. That's my Savior. He is. And we try to, you know, we want to make it so complicated and we sort of get stuck and we forget about the very obvious things that He is so incredibly powerful. He's also going to deliver us from the presence of sin one day. He has here on the earth. What do you mean? Because as a child of God, I have two natures. I've got the old nature, I've got the new nature. The law of God abides in me. Paul said that in 7:25 of Romans. Then I have the law of sin. But you know what? Now I have the power and the strength. I have to make a choice. Am I going to surrender myself unto righteousness, or am I going to surrender myself unto my flesh? He delivers me from the presence of sin. I do not have to go there. I do not have to live in that anymore. No more. By the power of God and His Word, because of the work of grace He's done in my life, I can say no to that in Jesus' name, and I can stay away from it. I do not have to go there anymore. And if I do go there, it's on me. But I don't have to go there. I do not have to do that. One day, He's going to deliver me from the presence of sin when He takes me to heaven. Now watch this. Look with me in verse 28. We can depend on God for His presence. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. They shall never perish. We can depend upon God for His presence. Man is separated from God because of his sin. But what is heaven? What is eternal life? Being with God every moment. We are in God's presence every moment. Not just when we get to heaven. Here and now, we're in His presence. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life. God wants to love you now and for all eternity. So you know how He does that? With His presence. With His presence. Never realized how significant presence can be. Years ago, I was pastoring a church, and I had one of our senior adult ladies. She was in her 80s. And the last member of her family passed away. And it was in a little town, you probably, Hazelhurst, Georgia. You ever been to Hazelhurst, Georgia? Yeah, a little old town. I mean, look. And so I found out where it was, because you've got to ask. And you say, it's not on the map. They didn't have the map on the Google thing back on the phones. So I found out where it was, and so I got up early, and I took one of my staff guys, and so he says, where are we going? I said, we're going to Hazelhurst, Georgia. Is that in America? Yeah, come on. So we got in the car, and we got up there, and we got to the town and went to the Dairy Queen. It's the only thing that was open at that time. And we asked the lady, you know, she said, oh, yeah, I know about that funeral. It's going to be right over there. So we went and ate, and we came back. And so the funeral started, and so we got there, and we walked up, and we just stood behind the chairs of the family. We're just standing there. I didn't go to get in the way. I didn't go. I just wanted, so we're standing there. So after, it was a gravesite. Her brother was older. So after it was over with, she got up. And she got up, she turned around, and she saw me. And all she did was smile, and I waved. A few minutes later, I prayed with her, went in the car, and came home. Got a card from her. She says, that made my day when I saw somebody from my church here, and that you cared enough to come. I wasn't there 10 minutes. It's just the presence. And how encouraging that was to her. Now watch this. How about the presence of Almighty God always, every moment of every day in your life? He's always there. I don't have to look for Him. Watch what it says in verse 28. Watch this. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's Jesus talking. I've given them eternal life. They will never perish. They will never perish. They have eternal life. And no man will pluck them out of my hand. Now, that's a big deal. You understand how strong He is? Who's strong enough to take you out of God's hand? You can't take yourself out of God's hand. Once caught, no escape. Once saved, you don't have to say always, just saved. No man can take you out of the Father's hand. Nothing. Nothing. And then look what happens in the next verse. Not only can depend on Him for His presence, how about His power? Look in verse 29. My Father, which gave us to Him, is greater than all. Words mean something. He's greater than who? All. everything. And I know you probably heard about it, but Stephen Hawking passed away today, 76 years old. And you know what the thing said right after his name? I was looking at it on Fox News. It said, and this was his claim to fame. He didn't believe in God, didn't believe in evolution. He said that he was a tourist of the universe. A tourist of the universe. I thought, my friend, you have no idea. And after he took that last breath, if I understand what the Bible says, it wasn't good for him. It wasn't good. A tourist of the universe. No, he met the maker of all the universes. The one that he denied, the one he poked at and made fun of, he is standing in his presence. And I don't say that harshly. I don't say that being mean-spirited. I'm just telling you, that is the reality of what Stephen Hawking faced if he died without Christ Jesus as his Savior. And that's the reality that all of us face, all of us. I want you to know, I'm a pilgrim passing through, but I'm not a tourist. I'm a pilgrim. One of these days, this old pup tent's going to give it up, and my spirit and soul are going to heaven, and if y'all bury the other part of me, that's fine. And then Jesus is going to come back, and he's going to call it up with a shout, and then he's going to reunite me in the clouds, and I'm going back to be with him for all eternity. So shall we ever be with them. That's what the Bible says. That's what God's Word says. And you know what? But I got his presence now. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly here and now. Now. Not there and then. Now. Now. Now watch the latter part of verse 29. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And then he says this, I and my Father are one. Now, I'm not the brightest bulb in the closet, the sharpest knife in the drawer. But if I read verse 29 and 30 right, or 28 and 39 right, this says that no man can take me out of the hand of Jesus, and nobody can take me out of the hand of the Father. So that's two hands, right? So I got two hands holding me. Not one. I've got two. I've got the Savior, Redeemer, nail-scarred hand, and then I've got the almighty, powerful hand of an omnipotent, all-knowing, ever-present God holding me. What else do I need? I've got Almighty God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, the hand is a sign of strength, but also it's a sign of gentleness. I think about Jesus in the Gospels. And it talked about how that Jesus touched the man who was blind. How that Jesus raised up, and Jesus always using his hands. He wants to do the same thing for us tonight. He wants to comfort us with his hand. It's a hand of strength. It's a hand of strength. Years ago, I was a teenager, and my dad, we went down to Strickland's Landing. And you know where that is, down at Kingsley Lake. And they used to have these towers, and they're about 20 foot off the water. And I get up there and I look over. I was in the eighth grade. I looked over and I said, man, no way I'm jumping all this thing. And my dad's standing behind me. And my dad's in the Navy, you know, he's in all this stuff. He says, come on. I'm not jumping off this thing. He said, do this. When you jump, cross your legs, do your arms. He said, you'll hit the water like a bullet. He said, it won't hurt. He said, don't dive. He said, it just gives you a headache. He says, watch, I'll show you. He just steps off and he does this. Boom. Now, when I got to boot camp, that's how you abandon ship. You jump off, you cross your legs, your weight's centered, and you hit the water. Say, why? I said, well, if you break your legs, you can still swim if you hit something in the water because you got arms. Those guys are so smart. I wonder how they didn't even ask me, but they got it figured out. So he comes up the ladder again. Now, here's my dad. He's in his 40s. He says, come on, let's jump. I'm not dad. I mean, it's way down there. So my dad, he's lots of fun. He puts his arm around me. He said, come on, I'll jump with you. I said, dad, don't put your arm around me. He said, jump. First time I jumped, I hit the water like a pancake. I mean, if I had any sense, I got it all knocked out of me right then. So I get over to the side. My dad, he had this little 2x4 thing. You climb up. It didn't have a ladder. You just had to climb up 2x4s, and you had to get up on the dock. And so I'm sitting there, and I mean, I'm about crazy because I hit myself, you know. And I said, wait a minute. He says, give me a hand. I reached over there, and I know my dad was strong. But he reached down with one hand, and he grabbed a hold. He didn't grab my hand. He grabbed my wrist. He snatched me out of the water. I weighed 115 pounds. I was big and strong. He, boom, put me up on there. And I thought, man, he said, come on, you can do this. We went off that thing, I don't know how many times. And I started doing it right, and I was crossing my legs. And then it got to be fun. Then I'd get my brother, and I had to torment him a little bit, you know. Put my arm around you, come on. But the strength of my dad, okay, wasn't in what he was so much saying to me. But when he grabbed me, I knew then, you know what, he's not going to do anything to hurt me. He wants me to have fun, and I'm missing out on it. So I just started jumping off the thing. Then, you know the big slide I had over there in the corner? You get in trouble if you do this, but go down backwards laying down. My dad said, do this. And you go down, and what you do, you skin across the water, but you got to be careful because there's a little dock thing that comes out there. You don't want to run into it. He said, do this. And the guy, psh, 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 don't do that, don't do that. And here comes the sun. You know, okay. He showed me how to have fun. How? Because when he grabbed me and pulled me up, it was an incredible strength. And you know what? He's not going to do anything that's going to hurt me. And you know what? The Lord Jesus does the same thing for you and me. He is not going to do anything to hurt you. And if you get ready to fall, he's got both hands on you. He's going to catch you. He's going to catch you. He'll do it every time. Every time. He's a good shepherd. He has strength to guide you. He has strength to correct you. But he has the patience never to leave you nor forsake you. That's the God that we serve. That's why these verses are so powerful. The Father and the Son are one in purpose, one in mind, one in action. No man can take you out of the Lord Jesus' hand, and nobody can take you out of the Father's hand. And you know what? Some days when things just don't make a lot of sense, that makes a lot of sense to me. He's got me. And I feel that grip. He grips my heart. Sometimes I wish he'd grab my tongue, but he grips my heart, and he has me, and he holds me. And he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, David. And I say, Lord, I know that, and I'm glad. I'm glad. And he's ever with me. Everlasting life. Everlasting. He will maintain and maintenance that everlasting life. He will give me all that I need, sustenance, everything, directions, everything that I need. For how long? All eternity. And he keeps his word. That's how powerful his word is. Oh, what a Savior. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I pray tonight that, Lord, if we just get one little word, one promise, one encouragement from your word tonight, it's the fact that you are all-powerful. With your hands, you sculpted the universes. You dug out the oceans. With your finger, you made the rivers. And Lord, you want to hold my hand. God, you could crush me. You could just annihilate me. But in your strength, in your grace, your hand is like a caress on my heart. And that is that divine, omnipotent restraint. That is your love in action. God, may we leave here tonight with that in mind and heart. In Jesus' name, amen.